Well, thank you for joining this morning. I'm going to jump right in this morning to 2 Kings. We're going to go old school, Old Testament, to start this morning. 2 Kings 6:15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you wake up in the morning and you're already surrounded by pressures and predicaments and problems? I'm sure that I'm the only one that feels like the to-do list yesterday didn't get finished. This is the situation that this servant of the prophet Elisha finds himself in. But hopefully this morning we'll find out that if we know where to look, that God will provide a way out of these predicaments. So when the servant saw this, he says, "Oh no, my Lord." That may be one of the most uttered prayers in all of existence. "Oh no, my Lord." "What shall we do?" the servant asked. Elisha responds to the servant and he says, "Don't be afraid." The prophet answers, "Those who are with us are more than those that are with them." I kind of feel like I'm the servant in this situation, right? I get up in the morning and I look out and all I see are problems and predicaments and pressures. And when I feel that way, the last thing I want to hear is somebody to tell me not to be afraid. I just want to strangle them, right? "Oh, don't worry about it. It'll be fine." You're like, no. This is very difficult stuff that we're talking about here. Continuing on, and Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Do you think that this is the prayer that the servant wanted to hear? You know, the servant probably wanted to hear, "Lord, rain down fire," or "Lord, send backup." The last thing he wanted to hear was, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked around, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots and fire all around. Today's message is titled, "See It Through." See it through. We've got to be able to see it through. Father God, thank you for this body. Thank you for this house. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together and speak and praise and worship. Lord, I just ask over the next few minutes as we go into your counsel and we open your book and then we speak your words, that your spirit stir among us and in us. And as I pray consistently, Lord, that it not be my words, but it be your message that each of us hears. In your son's holy and precious name we pray, amen. So over the last 4 weeks, we've spent based out of Philippians 4, and I haven't abandoned it. We're going back to it. Paul's letter is to the church at Philippi, and he wrote them while he was in jail. Paul is telling them how to handle the situations and problems that they face every day. He's telling them to be brave and to stand tall in their faith. He isn't talking about just making it or to do the least that you can. He's encouraging them to stand tall and to do the work of God while they walk this earth. Not just to make it, but to enjoy life. How to stand firm, how to be brave. That song that played before I got up is a pop song. It's by Sarah Bareilles, and I thought that it's a wonderful message to show you're brave and certainly applicable to what we're talking about here. I started in 2 Kings, and in 2 Kings we have a prophet that's surrounded by enemies. In Philippians we have a preacher that's in prison. What you say, do these have to do with each other? Well, I hope as we go through this morning, I'll make a little bit of connection. In Philippians 4, there are some of the most recognizable verses in the Bible. The first of which is 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And Paul here isn't talking about an outward strength. He's talking about an inward strength. He's talking about not being strong in the way the world sees him, but being strong in Christ, having that inward strength. Have you ever uttered the phrase, "I'm tougher than I look"? That's what Paul is talking about. I know I am not a big, imposing physical specimen standing before you, but I can guarantee you I'm tougher than I look. And that's what Paul is saying here, is that he's tougher than he looks. He's not talking about maxing out on the bench, right? So let's look at the verses that lead up to this very recognizable verse. Let's start in 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned Paul saying, I've learned. I've lived long enough to go. I've lived long enough to where I didn't get some of the things that I wanted, and I didn't get some of the things that I needed, and I didn't get some of the things that I wanted. So he's learned. He continues, in whatever state I am, to be content. An unexpected connection here between contentment and confidence. We talk about being brave, and certainly a big part of being brave is being confident in yourself. And there's a connection there between contentment and confidence. If you're content, if you realize that everything that you need is what God has given you, and what you don't have, you don't need, then what can the world take away from you that would shake your confidence? If you're content, you will be, as a byproduct, confident. On to verse 12. I know how to be abased, that is to not have much, and I know how to abound. So Paul is saying, I know how to eat ramen noodles, and I know how to eat filet mignon. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And it's in this context that he delivers his famous verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strength. God has given you strength. God has given us his strength. He has promised you his strength, an invisible strength. One that you don't always perceive, but one that is always present. We get this strength through Christ. As we said earlier, strength is oftentimes invisible. Paul continues on in the letter to Philippians to thank the church for their support. See, he was in a tough spot, and the church continued to support him. And he tells them that because you have been a blessing to me, that God will bless you. And in verse 19, he delivers another very recognizable phrase. And my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul talked about an invisible strength in verse 13 and an unlimited supply in verse 19. Amen. What a great God that he has promised us this. I think that we can look at our fears and see that many, if not all of them, are rooted in the idea that one, we may not have enough, or two, we may not be enough to face the challenges of our life. But in two verses, Paul takes both of those root causes out back and buries them. He says that I have learned by the stuff that I've went through that my God is strong. I've learned through the stuff that I didn't have that my God will supply. Strength and supply. Strength and supply. So I am confident because I am content because of God's strength and supply that he has always been more than enough. For if God is for me, who can be against me? Back in 2 Kings, Elisha is surrounded by his enemies. And it's not the situation that determines your courage, it's how you see the situation that determines your courage. And that's really been the whole theme of this series. I've said it week after week in different ways. Don't be anxious in your thoughts. Hold on to your thoughts. The fact that we can control the report we believe is what we talked about last week. It's not your situation, it's how you see your situation. At one point in time, Paul prays in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Another translation says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So that connection I was looking for between Paul and Elisha is supernatural vision. I leaned a lot on a wonderful two-week series that Alan Mullins did for us, as well as some other things to learn some more about Elisha. Elisha was a great prophet that did more than any other, he did more miracles than any other prophet in the Bible. And he did many of those by seeing through the situation. Elisha would see greatness where other people saw mediocrity. Elisha would see potential where other people saw problems. One of his first miracles was a polluted water supply, a polluted creek. And he was asked to fix that. The stream was so polluted that no one in the entire area could drink from it. Elisha asked for some salt. He throws the salt on the water, and it was never unclean again. On the surface, it looked like no one would ever drink from that. And I think that that's how we approach a lot of our problems as well. On the surface, we think that there's nothing that can be done about that. But Elisha could see through the surface. He could see through it. That was in chapter 2. In chapter 3, Elisha's ministry is moving on, and he gets summoned by some kings that are in battle. They're out on the battlefield, and there's a great drought going on. And so they send for Elisha, and they ask for Elisha to pray for water. And Elisha says that he prays, he sees a vision, and he says that there's going to be water flowing from a place you cannot see, but Elisha could see it. Elisha could see the downpour in the midst of a drought. He could see through it. In chapter 4, a woman is about to starve, and Elisha came to help her. Elisha asked her, "What do you have for food?" And she says, "Well, I only have a little bit of oil." But Elisha isn't bothered by this because he knows that God likes to start with a little to get a lot. God doesn't see a little bit where we see a lot. God doesn't see a little bit where we see a little bit. God sees the beginning of a lot. So she brings a little bit of oil to Elisha, and he says that you're going to need all the jars you can find. She asks why. He says, because you're going to need them. See, if we could see our future, we would be prepared to receive the blessing that God has for us. God is not limited by his capability. He's limited by our capacity to receive it. Elisha was able to see what God was going to do in this situation because he could see through it to a blessing to come. In 4:19, Paul says, God will supply all your needs. Elisha's ministry is continuing to grow because he can see. In chapter 6, they're growing and they're doing a building project, right? And one of his assistant pastors is over there chopping down a tree. And an axe head comes off and he says, "Oh no, my Lord, that was a borrowed axe head." So he goes and gets Elisha and tells Elisha his problem. And Elisha says, "Show me where the axe head is." And he said, "Well, it's down there in the river." And Elisha sees through the water and he calls the axe head back up to him. Perhaps a lesson for us here is if you can see beneath the surface of the situation, you can make what you lost come back to the surface through your faith. You can bring the things that you thought were lost forever back. So Elisha's reputation is growing. He is leading the king's armies to avoid the enemies. God will show Elisha where the enemy is going to be camped. He'll tell the kings where to go. And so they continue to avoid this. They continue to avoid the enemies. So in one way, you could say that Elisha was the very first spy satellite. And that'll get you in trouble. So the enemy starts targeting Elisha. And so we find when we started our message this morning that the enemy has found Elisha. And the servant walks out and he sees. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Well, Elisha's got an answer. Elisha says, in essence, fear not. Don't be worried. Did you know that fear not is the most common command in all of the Bible? This is the thing that God wants us to understand. Fear not. The servant sees enemies, but Elisha sees deliverance. Elisha has been through some things. He understands some things. It's interesting to note that Elisha closes his eyes in order to see. He closes his eyes in order to see. So he prays, "God, show him what I see. God, show him what you see." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It's interesting here that it doesn't say that Elisha prayed and the Lord sent the horses and chariots. Doesn't say that. They were already there. This says something about the help that we need, the strength that we need, the supply that we need. It's already there. God was set up before the enemy ever found Elisha. God has got us surrounded. Can you see it? See, the issue is not did God send it? It's can you see it? If you're anything like me, a visual aid helps to learn. I'm not very good at reading unless I'm really engaged in what I'm reading. I don't learn that way. I learn best through seeing it and hearing it. So as I read this passage from 2 Kings, I kind of imagine this, that we've got Elisha or the servant of Elisha, and you could put my name there just as easy. And he wakes up in the morning before he even gets a cup of coffee, and he's surrounded by need, uncertainty, problems, burdens, hurts, regrets. He's just surrounded. The enemy, it says, is surrounding the city. But when we read that Elisha comes out and he says, show him what I see. Show him what you see, God. He looked and he saw the hills and the horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So this is what it turns into for me. There are my problems, but God is surrounding me. He's got me covered. He's all around me, just like he is all around the world. He's insulating me from the inside. That's how I like it to be. That's how I want to pray and open my eyes to see. The text says that the enemy surrounded the city. But if we look at it, it said he saw the hills. He saw the hills. And the hills were full of chariots and fire. I thought that the help of the Lord was standing around me to keep me from hardship, but the hills are outside the city. See, the real illustration of this point is that, yes, we're surrounded by problems. But in the hills, your help is here. Your strength is here. Your supply is here. God is here. God says that I know you feel like you're outnumbered, but if you'll look again, God is surrounding whatever is surrounding you. See, what we want is God's help to keep us from hardship. We want him to help us. I'm going to read that one more time. We want him to help us from the inside out. God, don't let anything bad ever happen to us. God, don't let any need come into my life. We think that faith is supposed to insulate us. We think that God is supposed to stand next to us. And that we think that God stands next to us and doesn't let any hardship come into our lives. But that doesn't make any sense. Because if he did that, then we would start to think that it was us that were doing things. We would think that it was our strength that was protecting us. We would think that we had what it took to get through the tough times. We would think that the wisdom was ours. We got to see it through. What if I told you right now that God's here, God's help was here? Some of you would say, I don't see it. I don't see it. Have you ever been to an art show and somebody up front is talking about the wonderful motivation of the painting and the lighting? You know, I just stand there and I don't see it. I don't see it, right? The Lord blessed me with one good eye and one bad eye. And so until recent technology, anytime there was a 3D movie, there was a red lens and a blue lens. I don't see it. I'd go to the movie and it'd be all red, right? I didn't see a 3D. Everybody else would say, oh, you see it when that axe head came hurling at you? I don't see it. And the worst was those 3D, you know, you guys won't remember this, but those 3D images, right, that were like, it was just, I could stare at it for 20 hours straight. I don't see it. The kids love bringing up the color blindness test. So in addition to having a good eye and a bad eye, I'm partially colorblind, because they laugh and they show the card and everybody else can see the number 7. I don't see it. I just don't see it. God wants to show you his strength. God wants to show you his supply, but God wants you to see it through your weakness. So your help comes from the hills. God wants you to look past your hardship. See it through. God's help is here, but you have to see it through. God wants to show you his supply through your need. He wants you to see your faithfulness, his faithfulness, through your failure. He wants you to see his purpose through your pain. If you didn't ever feel the pain, would you ever look to the hills? The help is here. But it's not from the inside out. It's from the outside in. Help is here if you can see it through. The problem is we've been looking through our own eyes, and the eyes in our head will always lead us astray. God wants us to see it through his eyes. How did he strengthen you, Paul? Through my struggle, he says. Strength is a result of struggle. Don't let your weakness keep you from seeing your strength. God wants you to see it through your weakness. What if you opened your eyes again? God is trying to show me his supply, and he gave me this need to see it through. After all, when God wanted to show us his victory, he showed it to us through a cross. He said, "You want to see how strong I am? The very emblem of our faith is an instrument of death." He says, "When you see that cross, I want you to see my love. I want you to see my life. I want you to see my victory. See it through. See it through. I know it doesn't look like much, but see it through. I know you feel like quitting, but see it through. I know they said you'd never, and I know they said you couldn't, and I know they said you wouldn't, but see it through. I know you messed up last time, but see it through."